We have just a delightful young lady to share her thoughts with us tonight. You know, Wednesday night is kind of what I see like as a practice night, because, you know, your spiritual path is really so precious to you that it's not easy to get up and talk about it. And Wednesday night is kind of the practicing. And in order to get up and share your spiritual thoughts, it takes practice, because it's something so deep and so precious to us that it's hard to express it. So also it's practice time when we get to message bear too. Wednesday night is when everybody comes to cheer for everybody else. No matter what they're doing, the healing tools, I hope that you'll take time to, if not tonight, sometime, speak to those that have stood by the healing stool and tell them what you felt or sensed or you didn't feel, whatever, you know. But even for our Janie to be allowing her fingers to dance on the keys, I love to watch her little tiny, her hands are tiny, just dance all over that piano. She had to practice. So no matter what it is you're doing in life, you had to practice a little, didn't you? So the young lady that's going to be sharing her thoughts with us tonight has been a part of my life now for a lot of years. I've even got to watch her. She has four sons that are grown men now. And I've even got to watch them as they grew up. Not little babies. I didn't see them as little bitty babies. But I got to watch him grow up, and they've made her a grandma now. This tiny little lady that's going to get up here with a baby face that, with, when I look at it, I just keep on looking at it. It's so pretty. It's a grandma. She's a grandma, Lindy.
I know. Believe me, I know.
It's our Andrea. Everybody knows Andrea.
I know Millie's known me now for, well, we started coming to this church January 7th, 1996 was our first Sunday here.
Was that it?
Yep. I remember. I was telling Stan I have good long-term memory, but I've been asked my son in the last week, I think, four or five times about a video that he's recommended for me, and it's just not sticking. So, and I've even written it down twice. Thank goodness for cell phones, because it's one that he recommended me to watch, and I'm going to tell you guys about it at the end of my talk. So it's funny. Anybody who's talked here knows that sometimes you'll be having a conversation with Millie at lunch or something, and you'll just be talking away, and Millie will say, "Oh, that would make a good Wednesday night talk." And all of a sudden you go, "What did I say? What did I say that was so, that would make a good Wednesday night talk?" Well, I know the two things that I said, and I was thinking, wow, what did I, how did I put those two together that would make a good Wednesday night talk? But I will have to say that since that moment at lunch that we that I was talking about these two things, today is my birthday, so I'm a year older, I've learned something. I knew a lot before, but now I'm a year older and I know a whole lot more now. My whole belief system of one of these has totally changed. And it kind of disrupted my whole talk. But that's okay, because I'm going to go back to what my belief was before this. And it made me kind of really look at my belief of the first thing I'm going to talk about, which is faith. Because I've talked about faith before, and I thought I knew faith. I thought I knew what faith was for me. Because for me, faith has been the basis, the foundation of my spiritual belief. It was, you know, for me, it's what my religious belief has been based on. Because I don't think that you can believe in God without faith. That's for me what I believe. Because how can you believe in something you cannot see? Faith is the definition, the secure belief in God and a trusting acceptance of God's will viewed as a theological virtue. Okay, that's dictionary.com's belief. But my belief is it's believing in something that you really can't see, but it's so much more. So what's your belief in faith? Is it a belief? Is it a thought? Is it a feeling? Is it part of your being, your soul? Is it part of your religious status? Is it a status quo? What is it to you? Is it just a word? Do you just put it out there and say, yeah, I have faith? Have you really thought about what faith is? Is it something you feel? Is it something you see? Is it something you think? Is it something that goes deep within you? Is it something that's a prayer? How does it affect you? Is it part of your being? You know, this really got me thinking, what is it? Is it a thing? Is it something I can touch? Is it part of my prayer? Caroline Meese says that it's part of your dream realized. You can't have faith without having that be part of your dream realized. So that's something that I want you to kind of think about, what faith is. For me, it's part of my soul. It's who I am. And I got to really thinking, where did I find such a deep part of faith within my soul, within my being? It's been with me since I was a small lass, just a little kid, because I grew up in a family that I believe was based in faith. So I'm going to share part of how my family was based in faith. My dad went to Bible school full-time, and so this would have been in the early 70s. You don't go to school full-time and support a family of three and a wife and not have some kind of support, because my mom worked full-time, but back in the 70s, as we know, women didn't make the kind of money that men did, because women were supposed to be at home with their pantyhose on and their dress and their little pearls and being at home cleaning the house and baking bread, right? Ladies, we have come a long way. So my dad worked. My dad went to Bible school full-time, and my mom worked full-time. And I remember that there were times when, you know, it was tough and we didn't always have money. But sometimes we would come home and there would be groceries on our front step. And my mom and dad always said, you know, God will provide. But they were always doing something to make sure that we weren't just sitting back to make sure that God would provide. You know, my dad would take odd jobs here and there. We lived on an old army base, so he had been a fireman here in San Diego before we moved to Montana. So he could do something with the fire department on the base, or he could, you know, take odd jobs in construction. Even as kids, there were three of us in the family. The president would ask us to stuff envelopes for 50 cents a day, and then we could, you know, make a little bit of money to go get an ice cream and a soda or something. You know, that was a lot of money for us, 50 cents a day. And, you know, from what I know, when my dad was in school, he had people that would support him, and they would send checks to our family to help with our income. So literally, you know, the check was in the mail. And I remember my folks would say, you know, it's a lean month. Maybe somebody had to go to the doctor. Maybe an extra bill came up. Well, it always seemed like my folks would say, God will provide, you know, it will happen. Something will come through. Somebody might would send an extra $20. Something would come through. I grew up in a family that was based on faith. You know, God always provided. Something always came through. But like I said, my family didn't just sit back and say, okay, God, here we sit. You know, you're going to take care of us. They were always doing something, even to the point to where my dad would figure out, is it cheaper to buy bread or is it cheaper for us to make our own bread? You know, that's, my mom still laughs about that. She's like, is it cheaper to buy bread or for me to make bread? He actually divvied that out, you know. That, I don't know how you would even figure that out, honestly. That's way high math for me. Mary Ann Williamson says, faith doesn't mean you don't have to do the work. It just means you're certain, you're absolutely certain the work will pay off. So, you know, there's too often people think that faith is a crutch for us, that we as Christians, and I'm going to call us Christians, spiritualists, those who believe in faith, that we just sit back and we go, okay, God, do the work. I've put it out there. You know, but that's not how it is. We put it out there and we do the work. We pray about it. You know, isn't prayer having faith that something will work out? You know, prayer has always been a big part of my life. Is prayer part of faith? You know, when you pray for somebody to get better and they get better, is that faith realized? Or is it, as the scientific world would say, or the medical world, well, they were getting treatment, so of course they got better. You know, it can be both. You know, I had a breast cancer scare last summer. I was keeping that in because I didn't want anybody. I mean, why alert people if nothing's wrong, right? But after a while, I realized that it was too much for me to hold on to. And the thing is that I was in fear during about a month and a half. So during that month and a half, I forgot to do something. I forgot to pray. So I told my family. And then I shared it with some close personal friends. And when I shared it, it's like that fear went away. And I remembered something. I remembered to pray. Well, it all turned out fine. Now, did it turn out fine because I never had breast cancer? Or did it turn out fine because I had friends praying? And I remembered to pray, and I had faith that all would be fine. Who knows? It was fine. But, you see, we never know these things. Millie says at different times in our life, we all have cancer. It comes and goes. And it's so funny because my youngest son, who has constantly challenged my husband and I in our lives in a good way because he is too darn smart for us. He's always said things that just kind of make us go, how could you know? How could you say something like that? Because we already know what we know, and now you're making us unknow it, and now we have to rethink it, and my brain doesn't want to rethink these things, you know. He said the same thing, you know, a couple weeks ago. And I thought, he's never heard Millie say that. Excuse me a second. Oh, and then I swallow the wrong way. So, you know, he said the same thing. And it's like, we all know friends that have gone to the doctor and they've gotten the C diagnosis, and then all of a sudden they don't have it. My grandpa was one. He went in and he had this mass in his stomach, as big as a football. They said, "You've got cancer in your stomach. We're going to go in and we're going to remove it." Well, when they opened him up, they said, "We don't know what happened, but there's nothing there except for what's supposed to be there." Well, in the month before the surgery and between the diagnosis and the surgery, he had a lot of people praying for him. Was it a misdiagnosis? Or was it that prayer leads to healing? And my grandpa had the faith that he would be healed. Because in Luke 17:6, well, actually, it's not Luke 17:6, but it's after that. Jesus is walking down the road, and there are 10 leopards that come up. Lepers, not leopards. There might have been leopards around there, too. But 10 lepers that come out, and they say, heal us, please, heal us. And he says, go into town and see the rabbis, you are healed. And only one turns around and says, thank you, Master, for healing me. And he says, you are healed. By your faith, you are healed. Go on. So by your faith, you are healed. So is it possible that your faith can heal you? See, and I think prayer and faith go hand in hand. And it's okay to pray for yourself when you're ill. And if you've got other people praying for you and they have faith that you're going to heal, then you're going to heal. And in Luke 17:6, the Lord says, if you have faith, even as small as a mustard seed, you could say this to a mulberry tree. May you be uprooted and thrown into the sea, and it will obey you. Well, I'll tell you something. I loved that Bible verse as a kid, because I'd look at trees and I'd think, boy, I have faith that tree will move. And I would try, move tree, move tree, move tree. But I never got any trees to move. But, you know, I would really try. Now, I have to say one thing, that I grew up in a very fundamentalist Christian church and family. So the other thing that I want to talk to you about is, and this is kind of where you're going to find, where you're probably going to wonder what kind of conversation we were having at the dinner, at the lunch table, is atheists. I grew up in the kind of family where the Bible was, we had this nice faith going on in our church, in our family, you know, we believed in faith, but the Bible was kind of this, well, God wasn't really a nice guy, you know. You're coming to earth, you have one chance, and then you're going to go to the basement, and this guy, Satan, is going to torture you, and it's not going to be nice, because you kind of messed up while you were up there. And the thing is that everybody's a sinner, no matter how good you were, no matter how bad you were. It just, you know, there's levels of good and bad, but everybody's going to the basement to get tortured when you die. That's it. Anybody grew up with that kind of a Bible and that kind of a God, you know? It just, there's fear in the Bible, you know, all that. I grew up with that whole fear. And I didn't believe it. So my whole ideal of Christianity and Jesus and God and Satan was kind of all rounded out, and my beliefs were all by the age of 10. And I used to read these books about Satan because I wanted to know who this guy was. You know, really, because they would tell me on one hand that if I accepted Jesus in my heart, I was washed in the blood of the Lamb, and Satan couldn't touch me, okay? And then on the other hand, if I read about him, I was opening myself up for him to get me. Well, I believe the guy slept under my bed, and that, you know, at night he could get me. So, you know, if I had to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night, I kind of like jumped, and then I would jump into bed. Well, my sister and I shared a bed for a while, and she didn't look too kindly about me jumping back into bed. But I believed this for many years. You know, like I said, a lot of my beliefs were founded by the time I was 10. Now, I never told my parents this, but, you know. So, I believe that atheists were Satanists. That was my belief. Because there were only two kinds of people in the world, according to my adult child brain. They were either for Christ or they were for Satan. Because that's all that I really believed. Now, I think I really had this belief until I was probably in my early 20s. Because I really lived a secluded life. And I look back and I think, that's really kind of sad to really have that belief. And to think for so many years that an atheist was a Satanist. Because, you know, that's so not what it was. But because early in my childhood when I would ask questions, because I really didn't believe that God was such a mean God, because when I heard Bible verses, it kind of contradicted everything that everybody else said about God being mean. I kind of thought he seemed like a nice guy, and Jesus seemed really nice, but I was told I wasn't the one that went to Bible school. So basically, just shut up and listen to what was going on. I also believed, after reading some of these books, that we could talk to dead people. But remember, the dead people went in the basement to see the bad guy. So I didn't really kind of believe that, because I read a book that basically said that you could talk to dead people. And I got in a lot of trouble when I asked my sister if she wanted to have a séance when I was in second grade. I got in a lot of trouble, and I had a very big talk. My grandma had a really good talk with me about how the devil, that opens you up for the devil, but, you know, once again. But if I'm washed in the blood of Jesus, you know, everybody has probably heard this at some point in time if you've been in the fundamentalist Christian church. So it just, you know, there's this whole cat chasing your tail here. So anyway, I forget where I was going. So anyway, that's where I was with the whole atheist thing. Now, the interesting thing about this talk is when I was a kid in about third grade, I must have been a smart kid, because I read a book written by this man by the name of Mike Warnke. And he had been a high priest in a Satanist cult here in San Diego. And he talked about trying to get away from this Satanist cult. And it was a true story. And he talked about how they would try and get him, and they would not let him go once he tried to get out. He became a famous preacher. And I saw him later on when I was about 14. I saw him in person. And boy, I really respected that guy, because he got away from those atheist Satanists. Here's what's funny. As I was looking up, because my belief now of an atheist. So hold that thought. Because my belief now of what an atheist is, because I don't know if you've noticed, but atheist seems to be a big thing in the college kids world now. Even my two youngest kids, I'm an atheist. And it's like, do you guys even know what an atheist is? You know, I figured that these kids are just, They've never had a reason to need faith. Yeah. I know these things, right? Because now I'm 48. I know these things. Actually, I was 47. I just turned 48. So now I'm relearning everything at 48. Anyway, they're tired of all the dogma and religion. They're tired of what I grew up with. This has to be the reason for the kids having the atheism. They're tired of the fanatics in the Christian church. They're tired of the Muslim fanatics and the Mormon fanatics and all these fanatics in the religious and the religion being shoved down their faces and all that. This is my reason for these kids wanting to be atheists, right? That's what I thought. So they're tired of these TV evangelists who are hypocrites, like the Jimmy Swaggarts and the Jimmy Bakers and the Kenneth Copelands. And my hero, Mike Warnke, who I wasn't going to research any of these guys. I just decided to look up and see how many TV evangelists were hypocrites and who have been called out. There are a bunch of them, and as I'm going down the list, boom, Mike Warnke. He never was a Satanist priest. He never was a drug addict. All of that was made up lie. Remember, you know, that's how I got a lot of my information as a kid. I think he's the one that put in my head that Satan lived under my bed. So you see, all these things just go into young heads and that. But I don't know. It just kind of makes you look at things in a different light. I don't understand why kids are where they are now. I don't know if it's a lack of faith. Maybe it is a lack of faith. I think they don't believe in faith because they have to have the science. They have to have that solid proof. They have to see that there's a rose here. And I have friends that are like that. And I can't get them into this church because they're tired of church. Anybody, how many people here are in Millie's classes? Okay, so you've taken Millie's classes, you understand. You know, we get messages, we come here. You know, we feel the energy. Some of us see the energy. We know that. We know that there's life after death. We know that. And sometimes, just sitting in class, even for the first time, even if you don't know beyond a shadow of a doubt, you still have faith that there is something there. And you just still can't get people to come in and just try it. You know, I have tried. But they just don't want to come. And then my son said, and I'll wrap it up. I feel like it's kind of all been kind of whatever. Anyway, this is where everything that I had, my belief system, and everything that I thought I knew, everything sounded pretty right. You know, the kids, the religious thing, that's why they're atheists. I thought that I had it pretty right. Doesn't that sound right? Okay. My son says, Mom, you know what it comes down to? It's we're all just here. And it's like a big puzzle, and we're all just trying to put the pieces together. Because nobody has the truth on anything. That youngest kid. You know, that's true. We all just have to know what we believe. We all have to know where we stand. And you just have to keep looking forward. And that's why I say, think about what faith means to you. think about what prayer means to you. You know, really know what these things mean to you. Because if you're wishy-washy about them, you know, you kind of don't know where to draw the line. I really had to figure it out because I thought I really knew. And the thing is you're going to have to re-examine it again next year and the next year and the next year. Thank you.